Hello, everybody. Hey, what's up? What's good? Welcome to Underneath the Surface. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. This is like my fourth time recording this. There's been a lot of difficulties, but the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and he's mad. He's mad about what God's gonna do, and I feel like God's trying to teach me something in patience. And my brother was telling me before I started this, because I was gonna give up, my brother was telling me he feels like maybe God is trying to bring something out of me, allow me to be broken so that I may be able to speak from the heart and not from my flesh. Because I can get caught up in when I'm recording, like putting on a recording persona instead of just being my full authentic self, because that's what he wants me to be. He wants me to be real with you guys. He wants me to show you guys exactly how God intends us to be. So I am gonna say my testimony, of course. I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you guys for sitting here and spending the time to watch this. I pray that it touches your heart. I pray that you allow yourself to be vulnerable, to be able to receive the word that God is going to give to not only me, to you today. So we're going to start off with prayer. So if you are at work, wherever you're at, I just ask that you please bow your head and let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for another blessed day. I thank you for patience. I thank you for family. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for the love and the people that you surrounded me. I thank you for Mahal. I thank you for Amina. I thank you for Rosie, because they have been my uplifters during these moments where I feel like this podcast is not for me, when I feel like I'm not worthy enough. Father God, I thank you for giving me the strength to be able to record. Father God, I thank you for giving me the words that you're going to give me today, that I may be able to touch your people's hearts, speak to your people. And if it's not anybody else who's watching this, it's me. Father God, I thank you for allowing me to be able to be a vessel, a willing vessel, to carry out your word and spread the gospel. Father God, I pray that anyone who's listening, Father God, that they just feel your love, Father God. And if they do not know you, Father God, I pray that they know you today, Father, through my testimony. Father God, use me for your glory, Father God. I pray that I may decrease so that you may increase, Father God. I just pray that all infirmities, iniquities, any feelings of anxiousness, pride, anger, just leave the room, Father God. And I pray that you send it down to the pits of hell where it belongs, Father God. I just ask that you remind Satan that he belongs underneath my feet, Father God. I pray that you may be exalted, Father God, in any and every situation, Father God. I pray that as people are maybe driving or whatever they may be feeling, Father God, I just ask that they may be able to focus on you, Father, and focus on loving you, and that they invite you, Father God. We invite you into this place, Father God, for we are your vessels. We are your home, Father God. We invite you. We invite you to be able to be in us and be with us as we have this conversation with one another in fellowship, praising your name, Father God. I praise you. I love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel a lot better. I can't even begin to tell you guys how stressed I've been, but that's in the past now. God is only going to get the glory through from here on out. God is only going to get the glory through everything. This is stressful. This is a lot. It is definitely overwhelming, but following Christ is not, it's supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy, and I'm glad it's not easy, because these hard moments just make me lean on him more, that remind me even more that he's great. He's greater than everything that's going on. God is greater. All the things that you may be feeling and experiencing, God is greater. If you don't know today, let me tell you today, God is greater than all your worries. God is greater than all the things that you may be going through. God is greater. And I exalt him even in my times of stress. I exalt him right now. I exalt him today. And I claim over my life, I claim over your lives that Jesus is King, that he may redeem you so that you may uplift his name and give him all the glory in any and everything you do. I give him all the glory in any and everything I do, because Lord knows I would not be here right now talking to you guys, being able to share this testimony with you guys, if it wasn't for him. Because Lord knows I'm not worthy, but he lives in me, and that makes me worthy. He said, I live in you, so that makes me a perfect being. In him, in Jesus Christ, I am perfect. And I'm so grateful, so thankful for him, because I did not have the strength on my own to be able to sit here and talk again after not being able to record properly for so many times. I do not like, and if you see me looking off to the side, it's because I'm looking to check that the audio is still recording, because there's been problems with audio, there's problems with recording, like there's a plethora of things that just been occurring. But the devil is liar, and God may be exalted. May God be exalted in everything. Even though I feel stressed, even though I feel anxious, may God be exalted. So, of course, I'm going to be telling you guys my testimony. So, where to begin? I'm going to talk to you guys and tell you guys first about how broken I was without Jesus. I didn't feel like I had enough value in myself. I did not have value in myself. I had value and placed my value in how people saw me. I'm very silly. I'm very giggly. I love laughing. I love making jokes. I love spending time with people. I love people. Like, that's just how I am. I love people. But it was coming to the point where I idolized people and idolized how people think of me. I was a big people pleaser. So how people think of me and how people saw me would be very important to me. Like, even now, even speaking to you guys through this podcast, like, it is extremely hard for me to decrease myself so that God may increase, so that I may not be thinking about, this is not for me. Like, this podcast is not for me. It's for Jesus. Like, I'm only hosting it, but this is God's podcast. Like, this is not for me. I have to constantly remind myself that this is not for me, but this is for the glory of God. And if it's for the glory of God, there's not anything I won't do for God. I pray that you may become a martyr for Christ. I pray that you may become a bond servant of Christ. I pray that you become a servant for Christ, because he is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and there's nothing that I could possibly, like, the things that I'm going to tell you guys of what he delivered me from, like, it's, I can't, the reason why I stress loving him, the reason why I stress talking about him so much, is because he saved me. He saved me. Like, he saved me from so many things. Like, I can't even begin to imagine to talk to you guys where to begin about how he saved me. I love talking to people about Jesus. Like, now I do. And from what he's brought me from, I used to be like, I used to be down bad, like, just more. I'm such a people pleaser that I would dress to please people, dress provocatively to please men. More specifically, I would dress more to please people, other girls. I wanted to be that girl, so of course I was dressing in a way that they might be more like they might approve of me. I wanted to get thicker because I thought I was too sick skinny. People would say I'm sickly skinny. People would be like, you're too skinny, you know, you need to gain weight. Like, that's all the things that I would constantly think about. So when I found Jesus, he redeemed me from those things. So growing up, my parents are not together. They are separated. So the amount of things that I would go through with, because I felt like I was kind of a middleman. They were going through issues. My parents are separated, and my mom remarried at the time. So there's just been too many things leading up to how I met Jesus. I like to begin with talking about how I place my value in loving people in a way that I thought love was. Sexually active at a young age. I used to be gay. Like, I place value in relationships and things that did not even matter. I didn't think life was important at the time back then. Like, life was not something that I used to joke about killing myself all the time. Like, all the time. Like, I would, that if I wasn't joking about it, then what am I doing? Like, there wasn't a time in life where I wasn't joking about killing myself because I used to be extremely suicidal. And it's very important. I want to remind everybody, it's very important and tell everybody to reach out to the people who are hurting. Like, there's been so many times where I felt I was alone. And of course, to other people and in front of people, I'm very joyful. I used to have extreme anger issues because I didn't know how to express myself because I felt like people were talking about me, or I felt like people didn't care about what I had to say. So I was extremely angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. I was angry at everybody. So I just want to sit here and be completely vulnerable with you guys. I want to be completely honest with you guys. I can honestly say that I did not know love until I knew Jesus. And it all really began, I would say, my more severity of placing my value in people was in middle school. I had like boyfriends and girlfriends, so to speak, you know, when you're in middle school, and I was fast, and that's where I started becoming sexually active. And during these times, the devil really planted too many seeds, so many seeds in my head about me being insecure, me feeling like I wasn't pretty enough, me feeling like I didn't speak in the way that was good enough. During these moments, I felt like I was useless. I didn't feel like I was good enough for anybody. I felt very insecure because if I was being bullied at the time, like there was times in sixth grade where I was being bullied, but you know, there was the cool people, you know, if you didn't dress the right way, if you didn't look the right way, you're getting bullied. Like, that's just how I felt. And my emotions were all over the place. I was extremely emotional. I would cry to the point where I would cry every single day. There wasn't a day where I wasn't crying. I was crying all the time. All the time I was crying. I was very emotional and I would have outbursts, and my sadness and my emotionalness would turn to rage quick. When people would say I was doing too much, it would turn to rage quick. And I would have outbursts towards people with the quickness. And there wasn't anything that anybody could say to me. Like, who are you to tell me the way I'm feeling, like, is I'm being too sensitive? Like, I feel like during those times, my feelings and my emotions weren't validated. And so I used to cut a lot. I used to cut my arms and I used to cut my legs a lot because I feel like the only way I could finally remove myself from the emotional pain was with physical pain. So I would cut myself in my arms and my legs to the point where I cut myself really bad one day, and I have these scars still today. From today, still today, I have these scars. And back then I used to be so ashamed of them, but they only show me how much God has brought me from and show me how much it's important to reach out to people and speak to people who are going through things, because you never know what someone's going through. It's important to check on your loved ones because you never know what someone's going through. I'm very grateful to have people who love me. I'm very grateful to have a village that God has provided me with for people to reach out to me, because I cannot imagine where I would be without it. My sisters, I love my sisters to death. Like, they have been like, God handcrafted my sisters and placed them to be exactly the way they are for a reason. And I'm so grateful to God for them. My parents, they are the way they are for a reason. And they've molded me and raised me to be very, very outspoken. I'm very outspoken. I'm very grateful in the way that everything that's happened in my childhood, everything that's happened with how I was raised, happened for a reason. Whether it was good or bad, I'm very grateful because it's brought me here today, be able to talk to you guys about it. And I may ramble a little bit. I apologize in advance, and I thank you guys for just even listening today. So I'm gonna try to be as authentic as possible because that's just how I am. I need to like shake off this nervousness. So where to begin? So yeah, during middle school, I cut myself really bad, and after that, I said I wasn't gonna cut myself again. And of course I did, but not to the severity in which I did the first time. And it was just, that's what the devil does. He surges you with emotions, allows you to hold it in because you don't feel like you should be seen and heard. You don't feel like you should be like, you don't feel like you should talk to people about your emotions because it's not that deep. People tell you like, oh, it's not that serious. Like, get over it. There's people who are going through harder things, but your emotions are valid and they're real. And it's okay to feel the way you feel. Like, you're not gonna feel your best every day. And I definitely wasn't during that time. And to the point where I did cut myself and I was continuing to cut myself. But there was a moment and point where I stopped because not only did I meet my sister's friends who became my group of friends, but I started going to church during this time. And I'm not gonna lie, I did not go to church for the right reasons. Like, my mind was not in the space to be going to church for God. Like, I was going to church because the people who were there, and those people that were there, they were inviting and they were redeeming and they were sweet and they were kind. Because during this time where I'm feeling at my most lowest, these people were there and I was able to hang out with them and not think for the first time, not think about being depressed or being suicidal or not wanting to be here. And it's like, I would place my value in being in relationship with people. So during this time, like during high school, I was dating somebody and I placed my value in them. And all the while I was placing all my value in them. So when they weren't good, I wasn't good. And to the point where I was still feeling very suicidal. I was still feeling very emotional. But I didn't place two and two together and realize that, like, no matter how much you love somebody, no matter how much you value them, they cannot make you happy. And happiness is only temporary. Joy from the Lord is eternal. And of course, I did not realize that until later on. But I think a really big moment and a really big time in my testimony was when I had my first boyfriend. And not only that, during those years, these are the moments where I met my brother. And during not only did I meet my brother, I met my best friend, Rosie. These are people who God strategically placed in my life to talk to me about him. Because these are the people who were telling me that God loves me. While I'm here thinking my view of Christians and my view of people who believe in Jesus are they just judgmental. It's a cult. I felt like they were just doing things outrageously. There's people who were, I feel like, of course, these are people who infiltrated by the devil. Honestly, that's the best way I can explain it. Infiltrated by the devil because they had these things in their mind of like basically Pharisees people would speak to me about. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not good enough. It's so much easier to accept the wrath of Jesus against me, the wrath of God against me, than to accept the love that he said he had for me. Like, Jesus literally told me he loves me through people. My brother told me, do you know God loves you? And I don't think that was the first person to ever tell me, do you know that God loves you? And of course, I'm like, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means. Like, he obviously doesn't love me. I'm still going through things. Like, not really realizing that I'm bringing these things onto myself. Like, you don't realize the things you go through that is the exact things that God is trying to drive you away from. The things that you're going through is not because God doesn't love you, not because God doesn't care about you. It's because you're not walking away from the things that are driving you deeper and further away from God, which is away from peace, away from love, away from joy, away from kindness, away from patience. Like, you don't even realize that the things that you're doing is driving you further and further from a peace of mind, from Jesus Christ himself, from love himself. And so I didn't realize that all the things that I was doing, like, to the point where I would be in all these relationships, thinking that my value comes from these people. Like my value comes from like loving people. My value comes from when people smile. That's what I would think about a lot. Like my value comes from when people are talking to me. Like I did not truly like believe that my value was placed in Jesus because I did not know him and I did not care to know him at the time. Like people, my brother was telling me all the time, God loves you. And there came a point in time, I would say more, I started to take God more seriously. I was still very lukewarm, still very not like turning away from my ways and repenting. But I took God more seriously in my senior year of high school. I was dating a girl and I would tell her, like, she would tell me how her pupils are homophobic and they're Christians, and how can she believe in, like, she believes in God, but she doesn't believe that being gay is a sin. She doesn't really know, like, is being gay really a sin? Like, and I would sit here and tell her, like, no, God is love. Like, I go to church. What are you talking about? I go to church here and there, and like, they don't talk about how being gay is a sin and being gay is not a sin because love is love and God is love. And I wouldn't be delivered from that type of mindset. I wasn't delivered from the type of things that I was doing until I met God. And so, up and down, you couldn't tell me nothing. Like, you would have told me being gay is a sin. I'm like, no. And that's, I did not know that it was until I read my word. And it got to the point where people get in my brain telling me that, like, you know, the Bible was written by a man and, you know, it's fake and it's just infiltrated by the white man. It's a slave book. This is the things that I would believe because I'm like, yeah, it just makes sense. Like, we only believe in Christianity because, like, when we were slaves and we were brought here, like, which is not true at all. Christianity been even before slavery. Like, there's so many things that you must do the research for yourself. Read the word for yourself. If you've been asking God, praying God, like, oh, I need a sign to read my word, read the word for yourself, because if everybody truly sat and read the Bible, they would realize how much knowledge and wisdom there is in the Bible. Like, it's basically a handbook on how to be a good person. Because when you're a child of God, you don't value, like, you don't value just the idea and looking like a good person. You actually try to become a good person because the law's in there. And the things that it tells you about Jesus and how Jesus was a perfect example on how to walk with Christ, how to walk with God, the perfect example on how you should be. And so when we really think about it, like, it tells you about love. And I did not know love until I knew Jesus. Like, I can't stress it enough. I did not know love until I knew Jesus. And so during these times, like, I was smoking, I was drinking. And this is like end of high school now. After me and the girl broke up, I was like, I'm done with relationships. I'm done with people. So I was drinking and I was smoking a lot. I was partying a lot. Like, I was like, this hot girl summer, what do you mean? Like, I'm gonna be out here. Like, because I place my value in people. So being with people was where I found myself most happiest. This temporary happiness of when I was drunk, this temporary happiness of when I was smoking, it was like another physical thing I was replacing with. This is finally where I was able to take my physical pain and replace it with smoking, replace it with drinking. So it was finally, I was finally at a spot where I was able to be able to not think about the things that make me sad, not think about how lonely I actually am, not think about how unredeemed and how insecure I really felt, all these things that was deep in my heart that I would just bury, 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 because I did not want to go through them. I did not want to think about them. I did not want to process them because it hurt too much. I replaced cutting with drinking and smoking. So during these moments, I'm drinking, I'm smoking, because like I thought it was fun. Everyone else is doing it, and it's the devil makes it so easy for you to be able to acquire these things. He sends certain people in your life so that you're able to easily acquire these things. But I'm here to tell you today that the only thing I want to be drunk off of is Jesus. Oh, like I only want to be drunk off the love of the Lord. Like, let me tell you how he saved me from depression, how he saved me from the anxiety that I had, how he saved me from my drinking and my smoking. So during the summer, I'm drinking, I'm smoking a lot, and God he slowed me down. Let me tell you how he slowed me down. So I met a guy, and I was like, oh, he's cute. And you know, this is like, I was gay at the time. Gay at the time. So I was like, I'm not messing with no man, but he was cute. So I was like, oh, why not? So I slept with him. And me and him were sleeping with each other for like a couple months. And I was like, I'm just gonna continue to do this because it's fun while I'm flirting with a whole bunch of other people, entertaining a bunch of other people. Cause I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, you know, I'm not. This is what helps me get my mind off all the hurt that I'm experiencing. So talking to people was a lot more easier, and flirting with people, having sex was a lot more easier. It was another way to cope. Like, I was drinking, smoking, fornicating, because having sex is where I place my value. I felt like, oh, that's where I feel like I'm at my highest. My ego's the biggest, and I felt like that was my way of being loved. I felt like I didn't have any value if I wasn't having sex. Like, I felt like my body was the only way to be redeemed. So during these times, I was having sex with this guy, and I go to get checked up by the gynecologist, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is normal, you know. And I will never forget it. I just finished filming and I'm on my way home. I check my email, and then I get a phone call. And they're like, oh, you have chlamydia. Huh? I said, what? They're like, yeah, you have chlamydia. So we're going to send you medication over and, you know, just get checked up when you come back. You're going to have to schedule an appointment after like a month or so, but you can't have sex, you know. Just make sure you're having protected sex, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're telling me like the whole spiel. And I'm in shock. And I laugh. I laugh. I laugh. I call my best friend and I tell her, and I'm laughing hysterically because I'm like, this is not true. Like, this is crazy. I text him and I'm like, you gave me chlamydia. But I should have known better because he openly told me I'm sleeping with other people unprotected as well as you unprotected. So I should have known better. Like, I shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. So while this is happening, I was like, I'm not sleeping with nobody for a long time. For a long time, I'm not. And I was like, I'm done. Like, that just snapped me out of it. I was so sick in myself. I finally like slowed down that hot girl stuff. I slowed down on all that, and I was like, I'm not gonna do that. The next person I have sex with, I'm gonna be in a relationship with them. But so around this time, I got a second job, and I got a job as a bartender. So I'm working at Publix, and I'm also working as a bartender. And the bartending job was fun. Like, I'm around people who are drunk, so you know, and I'm drinking at the time too, so you know, this was like nothing new. So I'm over here talking to people and, you know, flirting with them to get tips. You know, I'm making a lot more money at this point because I'm working two jobs, like Publix in the morning, bartending at night, Publix in the morning, bartending at night. And this is like a couple of days I'm bartending as well. So while I'm bartending, I meet this guy and I was like, okay, you know, he's cute, whatever. And I was feeling really reckless. That was the first time I was reckless in a long time because I hadn't been talking to nobody since I had chlamydia at that time. So this is like after, of course, I don't have it anymore. And he was like, what are you doing after work? And I was like, oh, you know, nothing. And he was like, oh, do you want to hang out? And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. I slept with him. Obviously, I slept with him. So, and that was the start of one of the hardest soul ties I had to detach myself from. I was seeing him ever since then, since from that time, I was seeing him every day. I was sleeping with him every day, and I was sleeping over his house almost like every day to every other day, to the point where I was like, I'm gonna marry this man. Like, this is gonna be my husband. And I told him that, and even he was like, That's crazy because you're not even my girlfriend. Like, if someone tells you that, that would make you think, okay, this person does not like me for real. Like, maybe I should reevaluate my positioning and what I'm doing for this person and reevaluate what I'm doing with this person. But no, I decided to be in Delulu La La Land. And before this, I told my best friend, I'm not talking to anybody that's not a believer of Jesus, that's not a believer of God, even though I'm lukewarm myself. I said that to her. I said, I'm not talking to nobody who's not a believer of God, because if they're not in God, it's not gonna work. That's what I said. But I knew this man was not a believer of God by the way he acts and like by how he spoke. But I did not want to believe that in my head. I would pray to God for signs, like, God, give me a sign that, this is not for me. God would give me so many signs that it is not for me. And Rosie, my best friend Rosie, was like, Layla, you got to ask him if he's a believer of God, because you told me that you weren't going to date anybody that wasn't a believer of Christ. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right. I ask him, and he tells me he's not. He tells me he's not. So I was like, oh, you're not? And I was battling with it for a long time, battling with it for a long time. But I stayed. I stayed with him, even though God told me himself. God gave me so many signs. I'm praying to God, asking him for a sign about this guy. God gives me the signs and I ignore it blatantly. So God was like, okay, this is gonna be a good test for you. This is gonna be a good test for you. So during these times, and of course, God's still being merciful, gracious, and loving, like, there's been so many times where I don't deserve his grace and mercy, but he gave it to me anyways. I'm still smoking and drinking heavily even more now because he's drinking, he's smoking. So, I felt like that was our way of being happy and, being good. And no hate, all love towards him, because we're two hurt people together. Two hurt people together. And me thinking that, I felt like I was Captain Save a Man. Like, you can't save nobody. That's the first and foremost thing. You can't save nobody if they don't want to save themselves. And I realized throughout it, I knew I couldn't save him, but I kept feeling like I can't leave him though. He's down, like he's in his feelings. He's obviously hurt about things because he's using drinking and smoking to cope, as well as I am. I'm no one to talk. I was using drinking and smoking to cope as well, but I feel like I can't leave him during these times. Like, I have to be with him. Like, he needs me. That's what I kept telling myself. He needs me. He does not need me. What he needs is God. And I was trying to be his God, and he was basically my God because I was exalting him over everything. I put him above Christ. So there came to a point where we were on and off because I kept telling him, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You don't want a relationship, so this is not. And then he would tell me, like, oh, I'm going to do better. Like, you just have to be patient with me. I want a relationship, just not right now. You just have to wait, be patient for me. And so, I was still waiting. And so it got to the point where I had this, I don't remember what it was exactly, but we got into it. And mind you, I think it was another good thing that during this time where I said I was going to cut him off, I said I was going to cut him off and I didn't. And then I lost the bartending job. The place got shut down. So I'm not bartending anymore. God was like, I'm done. I'm taking you for myself. God was literally trying to pluck these things out of my life that were bad for me, and I was holding on to them so dearly. So I kept trying to look for another bartending job and I couldn't get one. So then it's like December now. So this is from like September to December now. It's December now. I'm still seeing this guy. I'm still sleeping over his house every day. I'm still having sex with him every day. Still smoking and drinking. And I've been telling my brother, like, I want to get baptized. And I was like, I'm going to get baptized. Like, I know I'm going to get baptized. Like, I just think maybe next year, like, I think I need to get it together a little bit more first. And he kept telling me, like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have your stuff together to be baptized. He kept telling me that, but I was like, no, I need to get together a little bit more. Like, I feel like I'm still doing a lot of bad stuff. Like, I need to get together a little bit more before I get baptized. And so after that, it was about when exactly. My brother tells me that he's gonna do a fast at the beginning of the year for the first month of January. And I was like, okay, I'll join you. And so in this fast, I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna fast and I'm gonna ask for God to give me this relationship with this man that I'm in a relationship with. And I'm like, I'm gonna get this relationship with him. Like, this is what I'm fasting for. I'm fasting for a newfound love with this man. Like, me and him are gonna grow to love each other. And this is what I'm fasting for. This is what I'm praying for. So, and I was in a heavy prayer. So it's not like I was devout to God. And it's perfect timing because in December, around Christmas time, my best friend blessed me and gave me the gift to have my first Bible. And so I was like, in January, I'm going to start reading my Bible now. I'm going to start taking God more seriously. So January 1st, it was Sunday, and they had a church service at this church I was going to before, on and off. And they had a New Year's service. So I wanted to go. And I was asking the guy, I was like, hey, do you want to come with me to the church service? And he was like, no. And I was like, please, like, please, like, I won't ask you for anything else. Like, could you please just go? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just come to the church service. Because I felt really led to go to the church service. But I was like, if he's not going, I'm not going. And I felt sick that I didn't go. I decided to spend New Year's at my mom's house, and he came too. And I was like, I never had a New Year's kiss, and I was really excited for him to be my New Year's kiss, but I felt so sick that I didn't go to church that day. And so I said, from then on, I'm going to church. Like, I'm going to church every Sunday. So during this time, it was between the 1st of January. I said, during this fast, I'm going to fast from secular music. I'm going to fast from cursing. And I'm going to fast from sweets because those are the things that really have a chokehold on me, and social media. So I fasted from all those things and for newfound love. I kept asking God for newfound love. But during this time, me and him got into it really bad. And I was like, I'm not talking to you anymore. I said, we're done. That's not how, let me preface how it went. He was supposed to come over for a game night at my family's house. My uncle didn't want him to come over. He just wanted it to be family. So I was like, oh, let me know when you're home. I want to spend time with you. And he was like, no, I'm just still gonna stay here at the bar drinking. And I was like, I was upset because I was like, I feel like I'm always accommodating for you and you're never accommodating for me. Like, I'm always making time to spend with you, but you're never making time to spend with me. So then during this time, I was telling him that, and I was basically going off, and he was just being dry. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. You said you're gonna put more effort. You said you were gonna try, and I feel like I'm the only one trying. And I finally, and it's like we had this conversation. You said you were gonna do better. You said that you were gonna put more effort in, and you're not. I was like, why didn't you just dead it when you had the chance? And he said, we could just dead it now. And I was like, oh wow. I was like, okay, bet. And that was the first time I was like, bet. And I did not talk to him. We did not talk. He would text me asking me if I could do his hair. And I'll be like, yeah, but then, he would be texting me too late. So I'll be like, I'm not coming over there late. Like, I'm not doing this. I'm not gonna see you. So it was like that for a while. But during this time, I'm going to church. And at church, I'm feeling so joyful. At church, I'm feeling so redeemed. At church, I'm crying a lot. I'm letting go of things that I was holding on to so dearly during these times I'm going to church. And I'm feeling like all the pain that I'm experiencing, I'm giving it back to God. And I'm reading my word more, so I'm getting to know Christ at a different level that I did not know. I'm starting to watch more sermons, and I'm going to church more. I'm going to Bible study that they have at church as well. So I just felt it was a different version of myself, but deep down, my heart, and I was still in this soul tie, my heart, and I was still in this covenant with him emotionally, physically, because I gave my body to him during all these times. And I kept telling him, like, there's nothing. And verbally, I was saying there was nothing he could do to make me leave him. Like, I'll always love him and I'll always be with him. And then we're never not going to be separate. So I'm not talking to him during this time. And there comes a time where after that, I started, while I'm not talking to him, I was being so selfish, and I tried to use somebody else to make me forget about him, to make me not think about him. but I shouldn't have. I was being wrong in that time, and I prayed to God, like, let me know if there's something that I'm doing, is there's someone that I'm focusing on my attention more than you, God, take them out of my life. And he did. And that guy ghosted me, stopped texting me quickly. So during this time, after he stopped texting me, that other guy that I was so focused on before, who I kept asking God for signs, came back. And I was like, maybe I could be your friend. Like, we could be friends. Like, I could spend time with you, but we can't do other things because I'm not trying to have sex with you or anything. And this is after I got baptized. I got baptized and I was feeling redeemed by Christ, and I was on fire for Christ for during these times. I'm feeling great. So I'm feeling like, okay, yeah, maybe I could be friends with him. Like, now that I found put place in God, maybe I can lead him towards God. Again, trying to have that savior complex. Nobody can save anybody but Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can save. You can't do the saving. You can only plant the seed. So I'm over here thinking I could save him. If I continue to be in his life, I can save him. Like, I could save him. That's what I kept telling myself. And it just did not go well. After that, me and him would spend time together. And there was a time right after Easter, I had the best service of my life. I never felt the presence of God so heavy. Temptation comes, of course. I felt tempted and I slept with him and I felt sick. When I slept with him, I can't begin to describe to you guys how sick I felt. I felt so convicted and I felt like God was gonna leave me, and I never felt so scared to lose God in my life. I felt like God was gonna leave me, and I was like, I've done it this time. Like, God is not, like, all this time I've been ignoring God, and now that I have him, I went and did something that would lead me further from him. So I said to myself, I'm not gonna ever spend time with this guy in his house ever again. Like, I'm not gonna do it. But I was still talking to him, talking to this guy. So I confessed it to my friends, and I told them how the my friends in Christ, and I let it go, and I finally felt like a weight lifted, and I felt God tell me that it's okay, that he still loves me. During this time, I'm crying, I'm bawling, I'm crying, and I'm like, I feel sick. Like, I can't believe I just did that to Jesus. I feel like I cheated because I really did. I had placed and made this covenant with God to give my body to him and only him and save myself for marriage, but I had sex with this man outside of marriage, and I felt sick, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. Because that feeling I felt, that was like, I felt so sick physically, mentally, and emotionally that I did something that compromised my walk with Christ. So after that, I was supposed to hang out with him again, and I prayed and I asked God, and I was like, God, just give me one more sign. Just give me one more sign that you do not want me to talk to this man anymore. Just give me one more sign and I won't talk to him anymore after that. And he gave me a sign. And I said, God, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. But I can't stress to you guys how hard it was to really detach myself from this man. Emotionally, I feel like I could not. I feel like I was like, I feel like I needed him still. I feel like I loved him so much. I'm like, I'm not gonna love anybody else like this ever again. That's what I kept thinking. But I loved God so much more. So I was like, I'm going to, if this means that I have to sacrifice him, like, out of my life for me to get closer to Jesus, then I'm doing it. No hesitation, I'm doing it. If it means that I'm gonna get closer to God, I'm doing it. So I did not talk to him anymore. I blocked him. And he texted me on Instagram. I blocked him on there too because I had to get rid of him out of my life completely, because that's what I told God I was going to do, because he was stopping me from getting closer to God. And since then, I've been full force towards Jesus. Like, I became a praise dancer at the church, and I can tell you, ministering with your body, ministering is the best thing God has ever blessed me with, to be a minister at my church with my movement. Like, I never felt so redeemed, and I felt like I gained a group of sisters, all my praise sisters. I like to call them my other angels. Like they, I felt so more redeemed, and I grew so much in love with God that I did not want to focus on anybody else. I'm on fire for Jesus, and still on fire for Jesus. He continues to light this fire in me. Don't get me wrong, I have my days where I'm not reading my words as much as I should be, but that's when I start to get too much in my head, and I have to stay broken in front of him and go back to his feet where I belong. I continue to remind myself to continue to go back to God's feet, because that's where I belong, at his feet, which gives me joy and peace, and to continue to be his servant. So when God put it on my heart to start this podcast, I was like, no, I'm not worthy. Like, this is not for me. And God continued to give me more signs to push me towards, like, who are you to tell me you're not worthy? I told you you're worthy. I told you have a word to give to my people. I told you that. So who are you? Are you God? He started talking to me like I was Job. Did you create the sky? Did you create your mouth? Did you create your whole self? Did you create you? Or did I create you? Do you not trust me? Do you not love me? And God kept telling me, like, trust and rely on me. And I was still being disobedient. I still did not want to start the podcast because I felt like it was going to be too much. This is not a ministry that I wanted to start on my own. But God kept telling me, this is what I have for you, and this is what I have for my people. This is not only for you, but it's for my glory. And you love me, and you do it for me. So I'm going to do it for Christ. And so here I am. After trials and tribulations, after the camera stopped working, after the mic not working, after me feeling like I'm not gonna do it, after there's been so many complications with me starting this, here I am being able to tell my testimony to people, to you guys. I'm praying that not only it hits my heart, it hits your heart. And I pray that God continues to speak life over you. I can't begin to tell you guys that He allowed me to forgive so much people. He allowed me to forgive the guy who gave me chlamydia. He allowed me to fully forgive my mom. He allowed me to fully forgive my dad. And people who know me know that those are the hardest things, because there's so many grudges I was holding against these people. But once I felt the love of God, it just made me want to love people all the more. I never felt such love towards people until I knew Jesus. I never was able to love people until I loved Jesus. Like, let me tell you, I was never able to love people till I loved Jesus. And now I truly love people. And I truly understand why God did things that He did, why God allowed me to go through the things I did, because it allowed me to build up and get closer to Him. It allows you to be broken sometimes so that you can fall back towards God, so that you know you need Him. We cannot walk this earth on our own. We cannot walk by our own strength, by the strength that God gives us. Allow yourself to be broken in front of Jesus. Even if you feel like you're not enough, God said you're enough. And if nobody told you today, you are loved, redeemed, and created by the Almighty God. I'm telling you today that you are loved and redeemed by God. I love you. God loves you more than I can even begin to explain to you guys. He loves you. And there's just been so many complications with this, but I'm so overjoyed that I was able to start it and being able to talk to you guys. I pray that this touched your heart, and I pray that God continues. If you do not feel like you have anybody to talk to, you can talk to me. I have my personal IG, and you guys can, of course, comment down anything. I'm willing to talk to you guys, as well as God is, because God is the Redeemer. He is the Restorer. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him how, like, I'm talking to you guys. This is basically the same way God wants to talk to you. He's using me to talk to you, to tell you guys that you are loved and redeemed. Even if you may not love Him, even if you may not think that He's out there, God still loves you, because nothing can pull you away from the love of Christ. I tell you this today, if nobody told you, nothing in this world, not your mother, not your father, not your sister, not your brother, not your friends, not your job, nobody can pull you away from the love of Christ, because He loves you. You were seen, heard, and redeemed by God Almighty. He loves you, and He's there for you. If you feel like He was never there before, He is there for you. Trust me. In the times that you don't feel like He's there the most. When you feel like, oh, He's not listening to you, He hears your cries. And when you're crying, He's crying with you. God weeps with you. When you weep, God weeps. He does not want you guys to be going through this hurts. That's why you need to turn from your wicked ways and follow him, because God will give you the exact thing that you're supposed to be doing. God will give you the things that you're supposed to be doing. I tell you today, I thank you guys. I love you guys for being able to be here and sit with me and listen to this testimony and tell you about how God is great. God is gracious. He's merciful. He's loving. It was a pleasure. It was amazing. I thank God for allowing me to be able to have the strength to do this again after having all these issues today. In Jesus' name, I pray that this touches your heart. And if this only touched one person, I know that God is redeeming. If it only touched me, I thank and I praise him. I just ask that if you did not get to talk to God, just pray a prayer. Pray this prayer and claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I accept you. Jesus, I come out of agreement with everything and all the things that are not of you. Jesus, I need you. And I ask that you come into my life so that my heart, my mind, and my body, and my spirit may be restored within you, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and he will meet you where you're at. It don't matter where you're at, God will meet you where you're at. I love you guys. I hope you guys have a great rest of your night. Good night, you guys, or good morning, good afternoon. Bye, guys. I love you.